God has certainly been good. I don't know if anybody else has had some battles this week, but this is seemingly one of those weeks where the devil is really trying my patience and trying my train of thought and bringing every kind of distraction to try to pull our vision away from where we should be. And I think to myself, now God, I know when the battle is hot around me, that I'm surely getting close to something good. Every time that I hurt and I get weak and frustrated, I think to myself, God, you see me now just as much as you do when I'm standing on top of the mountain. If you're standing on top of the mountain, everybody can see you. But I'm glad. I don't know why I got to say this, but I'm just glad that even when you're down in the thick of the valley, when nobody's sight could catch where you're walking, that God still knows where we are. And I just have to thank Him. I have to thank Him tonight, even in the midst of the troubles of my life. I still have to thank Him. In the middle of my suffering, I still have to thank Him. In the middle of my pain, I still have to thank Him. So I don't know if anybody else has been going through some stuff this week, but I'm here to tell you, I've been walking in the valley with you, but God is still good in the valley. Can you say hallelujah? Turn with us tonight to the book of 2 Peter in the 3rd chapter. Tonight we're going to start out reading verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. I remember when I was a young man, I have a wonderful mother who happens to also be a good cook. That's an unbiased opinion, of course. She does an excellent job. She really does. She works hard for it. That's what she loves to do. Ask for a dessert sometime. Try the spirits and see if they be among you. But I'm here to tell you that I love her desserts. I love the meal, but I sure do love the desserts. And sometimes I just wish that I could just show up to a whole spread and say, I want the pie. Let's forget the steak. Let's forget the appetizers. Let's forget all the little shrimp laying around here or there. Let's get me straight to the dessert. I remember when I was growing up as a kid, I'm sure maybe you heard some of these same things, that when you wanted to get the sweets before you ate your dinner, you were told that you had to wait because you needed to eat first, and that if you ate your meal, that you could get to the sweets and enjoy dessert. How many of you ever had that told to you when you were growing up? I had that told to me all the time. I remember it very vividly and clearly about how that I needed to wait until I had my meal. And I look at some things that I'm really wanting God to move in, things that will open up success or open up more peace, open up another door, another opportunity, that next step, that next thing that we're seeking for, fighting for, the thing that we're desiring for. Sometimes I feel like that it would be so easy for me to just get up tomorrow and say, give me the dessert. Give me this thing that I'm desiring. Let me have this thing that I'm longing for that I think will make everything all right. But I'm here to tell you tonight, as I feel led of the Holy Ghost, I want to remind you that our time and our watches are not what defines God's timeline, because His timeline is not contingent on our timeline. And when we say that we want to get to the end of something, we're missing out on the very thing that will sustain us to survive and endure some things. If I had not ate the meal before I got to the dessert, after I ate the dessert, about an hour later, I would have been hungry again to have a little bit more, and it would not have sustained me like other things would have. I'm just going to get right in here tonight. I'm excited. Turn into Romans chapter 8. We're going to start reading at verse 5. And while you're getting there, let me share with you what the Lord gave me. God is not stressed by time constraints. Sometimes He delays the answers to prayers because He has a purpose that I don't even understand. But He has answered my prayers before. And if He's answered them once, He'll answer them again. Sometimes we lose the passion to enjoy the moment of the now because we are awaiting what we're desiring on our timeline. And as we grow aggravated in this situation, this is the moment when the enemy comes to prevail upon your mind. Can we read a little bit and preach a little while? Start with the verse 5 in the book of Romans chapter 8. It says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Would you humor me for a moment if I begin to talk to you about what our fleshly nature looks like and sounds like? Would you give me a moment of your time to try to talk about this for a minute? Have you ever been frustrated in a situation before? How many of you ever been tonight? Have we ever got upset at our loved ones because they didn't do the things that we wanted them to do? How many of you are living with me tonight? Have you ever looked at a situation that somebody wronged you in, and instead of wanting peace to move forward, you sat around and waited on an apology that you didn't even need to move on? How many of you are living with me tonight? I've looked at some things that I had fought to get, but by the time that I got what I got after the end of the fight, the spoils weren't worth anything for me to keep. I could sit there and get the last word, the last laugh, prove my point about how I don't have to do this, how I'm justified to do that. And in the middle of all of my fighting, there is something that's going on. There's a very real enemy that is infiltrating the mindset of the people of God. There's a very real devil that while you're desiring after the end result, it is speaking to you and aggravating you about what you're not seeing. And when we get to the moment where we're sitting here tonight and we're supposed to be able to delight ourselves in the Lord, our expectation of what we want gets us frustrated over what we do not see, and what we do not see leads us to a discouragement where we cannot be thankful. And as our hearts get weary, we get discouraged. And as we get discouraged, we begin to drift. And as we begin to drift, our minds begin to go places they would have never gone before. And I don't know if you're drifting tonight, but God sent me here with this peculiar word to try to reach out to you with an oar that you'd get back to paddling in the right direction. I know that it gets tough when we're in the middle of looking at a debt and we're praying for God to pay it, yet we still see the notices coming in that it's past due. It's hard to believe in healing when you're blowing so much snot out of your nose that you can't even draw breath to believe in healing. It's hard to look at projects that we want to be done, and when they're not done, and still have faith to believe that God can do it. It's hard to see those that are addicted to drugs and say there's no way for them to be delivered because I see how much they're on. We look at the drunks that are out there in the world and give them no hope because we're looking at the end outcome. But all the while, in the moment when you could have been delighting yourself in God, the enemy is pulling away your good frame of mind. And as you begin to operate in only your thinking, you operate as a fleshly mind. A fleshly mind only wants what will please it. A fleshly mind only wants what it can get, regardless of the cost to others. If I knew that my mother had the money to pay my debt, and I went to her and asked her to pay it for me, and she told me no, do you think that I would have the right to begrudge her just because I know that she could pay it for me? Sometimes we're looking at what seems like exactly what will fix it. And because it's not happening, we get frustrated. I'm telling you right now, the number one praise killer in the church today is that we're walking by sight and not by faith.
If we were walking by faith, we would be able to praise the Lord anyway. If we were truly walking by faith, we wouldn't be worried about what we were seeing. I recall a time in the Bible when they were told that they would be led out of captivity, when they were against an army that they would have never won against. Who am I talking to tonight? I'm talking about a people that got led out by a man that didn't have the speech even to order a cheeseburger at McDonald's. I'm talking about a leader that caused the heart of Pharaoh to be turned as the miracles of God came down to cause him to be convinced of a difference. I'm talking about a situation when they looked at a body of water that didn't have a pathway, that God made a way where there seemed to be no way. I'm talking about a wilderness that even when they got stubbed up and wouldn't go no further, that God still supplied their needs, even when they hadn't made it to the promised land. I'm here to tell you that the miracle wasn't just the Red Sea. The miracle wasn't just the wilderness. The miracle was at the end when they made it all the way through, when they had a good frame of mind all the way to the end, when they didn't give up, even when they weren't fed, even when they were cold. When you don't give up in the middle of something and you let God lead you all the way, the promise will be there for those who'll believe it all the way. I'm trying to get an all the way spirit imparted into you tonight. You've got to get through this thing all the way. You can't begin to drift and say that God's not doing it, because God may be moving all the while that you're standing there and saying, "Why, God, have you not done this?" He's wanting you to look beyond your vision and to put on His vision. The spiritually minded say, "I shall do it." The spiritually minded looks at something that they can't do and say that I can. Someone letting the power of God anoint them will look at anything that the devil brings up and can still say, "I'm going to believe what the Lord has in store." And when you get to a carnal frame of mind, you'll be like the children of Israel were when we read about it last week, how they had even desired to go back to the very place that they'd been brought out of. Mind you, to go back, they wouldn't have had a water that had been parted. They would have had to swim. Mind you, they wouldn't have had the cloud by day and the fire by night had they decided to go back out of the things that God had delivered them from. Friend, there's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. And to do this any other way will be going back through the very things that God has brought you out of and brought you through and delivered you. He wants you to go forward. He does not want you to digress in your faith. Turn to the book of Habakkuk in the second chapter. I'm feeling good tonight. This is one of those nights where I'm looking at the devil and he's looking at me and I'm saying, "I'm going on. Oh, I'm going on. I'm ready to get to my promise." I'm preaching to somebody. I feel it. I feel it in my bones right now. Oh, there's a promise that God has given you, a dream that God has given you, and you don't need to throw it away just because you don't see it. There's a promise that He has given to all of us if we can only but realize how close that we are to a new beginning. The sweet treats won't sustain you. That fight that you think you need to win, you won't feel any peace even if you got the last word. I don't care what kind of fight you're talking about, a push and shove, a verbal altercation, a disagreement, a legal battle. There's no fight that you could try to win, carnally minded, that will supply what you need to be sustained. Because let's say that you go ahead and you go for that thing. You go for the dessert first. When it comes time for something else beyond just this one thing you're going through to happen, the thing that you need to build your faith will not be there, because you will have took the easy way out, The world would have you to think that those things that you do at church don't mean a thing. They would have you to believe that there's no association with good things coming your way and being obedient to God. You want to know how I know that? Because the churches today are declining in obedience. I didn't say attendance. I said obedience. We're showing up. We're here. We're looking at each other. And God's Spirit's in us. We know that He's in there. But the moment He begins to speak, we look at the things we don't have as some kind of thing to hold to God. But friend, there's nothing in the world that's worth losing your salvation over. What good does it do for us to gain this world, win the fight, be right? Oh, there's been more people that's got hurt over wanting to be right than there's been any real reason to be mad. The Pharisees wanted to be right, but there are some of them that fought against Christ that have lifted their eyes in hell. You might not consider the association of the things that you fill your mind up with when you're in a time of discouragement. But I'm here to tell you that every single thing that you put in your body, whether it be the substance of alcohol as a poison or the poison of the media that we're looking at today, it can be just as detrimental to you as it is for you to be a drunk. You might want to be to the promise, but if you can't change the channel when you know you need to change it, you're not going to get there. I don't know who I'm talking to right now. You might think that you can come to church and prove to everybody that you're a churchly person, but if there's things in your life that still need to change, then the promise that's meant for you, you will not get to. Ergo, let me talk about a person that was called to lead them out, but didn't make it to the promised land because there was part of him that had to answer for his mistakes. Saul did not get to reign as long as he was called to reign because he transgressed against the commandment of God. So let's connect the dots here for a minute. Just give me a second to preach this for a moment. Did you not see when you're looking at your lack of obedience as a way for the devil to infiltrate inside of your life? Do you not see that when you're frustrated and you turn on music that's not going to uplift you, that it's poison unto your soul? Do you not see that when you begin to look around on the internet for some kind of answer, but it is nothing to fulfill your godly spirit, that it's something that's poisoning you? There is a very real evil that is nothing to do with alcohol today, and it's everything to do with your frame of mind. Amen. Jesus couldn't even move and do miracles in his own hometown because they didn't receive him nor believe what he could do. And let me just talk about not this crowd tonight. Let me just talk about crowds in the past. I have felt and prayed and seen in my spirit services where I would come in and just be so free in the Lord. I've felt it before. I've seen it before. And the Lord would reveal it to me. And then I'd get in a moment where the Lord would be moving. And then the devil would absolutely sweep through the place. And what was once, you know, a single focus of attention begins to break out into two or three. And before you know it, we have a whole group of people that looks like they're looking at the preacher, but their minds are already gone. Carnality is the kind of stuff that you think about that you can't control. Carnality is the kind of stuff that'll make you do things to achieve an end result, even though it's not going about it the right way. My blessings, my promises that I have received and can testify of today did not come when I drifted. They did not come when I wearied, but they come in spite of my weariness. Because when all things around me try to trouble me and direct my carnality to be greater than my spiritual man, the spiritual man that was in me, brother Matt, no matter how foolish it sounds, rebukes and sends away the presence of the enemy. He might come at you with things, but that doesn't mean that you have to give him glory for it. You might get attacked with things on a daily basis, but that does not mean you have to settle for the devil's level. You don't have to accept the things that come along. If he tells you you're worthless, you rebuke it because you know better than that. If God saved you, then you're worth more. And you were worthwhile. Let's read in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1.
Well, I think I've got verse 2. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me. And what shall I answer when I am reproved? And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. I'm going to come back to that in a second. For the vision is yet, and say this phrase for me, for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. I'm speaking encouragement to you tonight. The Lord wants you to know that he is giving you a word, a promise. Things that you see in your vision. Before I was ever delivered from drugs, Doris, I saw it. Before you ever receive something that God gives, you must receive it. You must see it for yourself. I had to see myself delivered and believe that I could be, to come to the realization that through him, I am free. We have to look at the things that we're dealing with today. And though we may not have the promise, the Lord will speak. And what he speaks, he wants us to put on tables, that when we read it, that we run. What does that tell us? That if God has blessed you with anything, that you're supposed to put it in your heart every day of your life. That when you come to the moment where you can no longer thrive in the blessing of yesterday, that you can be reminded of what God has done for you, so that when you need the faith to push forward, you can remind yourself about what he has already done. Now, the church that I preach to today, if I'd preached this sermon 20 years ago, we'd be having camp meeting and 8-month revivals. But a sermon like this today isn't well accepted, not well received, and often ignored. But I'm okay with that. I've grown up enough in God to not worry about who gets it and who don't. I've grown up enough to know who needs to receive it and who's not going to care about it. But I'm here to tell you that whether you want to receive it or not, it is just as important for you to remind yourself about how God has been good to you. What he has done. How that he's... I feel God. I'm just going to have to praise him. I've got to thank him. Maybe you've not been through enough to look back at something and know that God is real. But I have. I've been through enough to know that he's going to be enough for me. You've got to look at what you've been through to know that God will take you through to your promises. And we've got to do something that when we see it, it's enough to make us run.